in the way that prayed just now, because if he didn't, I was going to get us to do that. Because this morning, talking about strengthening ourselves and being strong in the Spirit, I'm going to lay down a few foundations from the Bible that for many of us, they will not be unfamiliar teaching that we'll have heard many times over the years. But actually, we all the time should be asking God to, and the Holy Spirit just to reveal something fresh from the Word of God. Even if we've heard it time and time again, we have a responsibility to be open to what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And so that's really important. So just keep hold of that. Even if this isn't new, it might be to some, you know, we're all at different places. We are a family, aren't we? In our family, we've got some very young ones and some much older ones. And we're all at different stages, but we accommodate each other, and that's the great thing. And for those of us who have been knocking around for a while and been Christians for a long time, you know, we've got a lot that we can learn from some of you who are much younger in the Lord this morning. So, you know, let's just approach this bit of this morning with that just that receptiveness to each other, but to more to what is the Holy Spirit saying to me this morning. Now, it's interesting, the whole sort of topic about the Holy Spirit. I happened to be working with somebody yesterday, and we got chatting about, you know, what are we doing for the rest of the weekend, and I said, well, actually, tomorrow morning I'm speaking at our church. I knew that the guy was, well, I suspected the guy probably wasn't a Christian, but I went, oh, right, well, that's really interesting. Are you a vicar as well, then? And I thought, no, I'm not. I'm not, but, you know, and you suddenly have to get your mind into a different mindset when you're talking to people, that you suddenly realise how much jargon that we actually use in the context of church and in the context of our way of doing church. We use an awful lot of jargon, which there's nothing wrong with that, because we know what each other are talking about and it's helpful. But it's not very helpful to people who haven't got the foggiest what we're talking about. And so I had to start backtracking then, because in his mind, he thought, right, well, his experience was sort of parish church. And so he said, well, what sort of church is it? I thought, oh, how am I going to explain this then? I said, well, it's a charismatic church. I thought, well, he might get that. What? Never heard of that. I said, well, Pentecostal churches then. Oh, yeah, I think I've heard of those. And, yeah, we sort of got somewhere, and I thought, interesting, I could preach this morning's message to him, couldn't I? Give him some teaching about the Holy Spirit. But it's quite interesting that people outside of God and outside of church will have a very small understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, and yet their knowledge of church in a parish church type of setting, which is what they know, there's certain things that happen throughout the year. As it happens, this being Pentecost Sunday, this will be one that's ticked off the list. The same as sort of Easter gets ticked off the list and Christmas gets ticked off the list till next time. And the great thing for us is that we don't have to just talk about the Holy Spirit because it's Pentecost. It's every day, isn't it? The message of Christmas is every day. It's hand in hand with Easter, which is every day. It's just quite a nice, useful thing that it's Pentecost, because we think, oh, well, we can remind ourselves of what we know every day anyway. Anyway, where was I going with that? I've got no idea. So people's... That was the thought. You know, people are aware of, you know, we pray for things or declare things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. People are comfortable with that, and I think that we're comfortable with that. But the point that I'm trying to get onto, in a very waffly, long-winded way, is that the Holy Spirit is equal to the Son and is equal to the Father. You know, there's that equality with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And for many people, at different points in our walk with God and in our journey, our experience of the Holy Spirit might be more prominent, or our experience of Jesus might be more prominent, or our understanding of the Father might be more prominent. And, you know, that's okay. You know, that's all about the journey. But it's important that we understand and we're aware that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are a united package, you know, and they are one and they're equal. And it's also important for us to remember that we have relationship with the Father, we have relationship with the Son, and we have relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes some people find that harder to get their heads around, having relationship with the Holy Spirit, because a son and a father, we can relate to that more easily. But the Holy Spirit is part of the person of God. And, you know, it's important that we have relationship with the Holy Spirit and that we keep developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to, hopefully we've got them up on screen. I'm going to whiz through a few verses from the New Testament that just have a little look at the Holy Spirit. And there's two aspects I want us to just have a think about. One is the fact that the Holy Spirit is involved in personal activities. So John 14, in fact it's useful for me to read it off there without having to find them. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit gets involved on a personal level with us. He teaches us and he reminds us of things. Holy Spirit is always reminding me of things, usually in hindsight. Just to remind you, Dave, I'm having to remind you because I did try and tell you before you put your foot in it by doing that, but just to remind you, I sense from that chuckle that people relate to that, yeah? John 15:26. We can flick over onto that one. Have we got that one? John 15. There we go. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He testifies. He testifies about what Jesus has done. Let's go into 16. It's a huge topic, by the way. All that I'm talking about this morning, I would encourage you to go back home and just spend a bit more time, if you can, just sort of looking at some of this, because there just isn't time this morning to unpack everything. I just want us to get just an overview and a flavour. So John 16, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So here he is. He's guiding us. He's speaking. He hears, and he's telling us. In fact, in these verses that we've looked at, the Greek word for counselor, which is the word used for the Holy Spirit, is parakletos. And that always refers to a person. So when we're thinking about the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't an it, or it isn't a thing, or a it's not something. The Holy Spirit is He. He is a person. He's a person that does all of those things. He teaches, he reminds, he testifies, he guides, he speaks, he hears, he tells us things. He actually meets us where we're at, which is a good job, really, isn't it? Because if we had to get to where we're attaining to be on our own, take a mighty long time, I can tell you. Acts 13, verse 2. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So here he is speaking into situations, speaking into lives. So he gets involved in personal activities and he involves himself in people's lives. But he also has personal attributes. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So again, he's helping us, but we can see something of his personal attribute. He is praying intently. He is praying with emotion. You know, he's praying on a level for us that consumes his emotions. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. I wasn't really going to touch too much on this, but this thing about whom you were sealed, as having the Holy Spirit as a seal, it's almost like the same terminology, the meaning behind the word seal in that context is a little bit like an engagement ring. So because we have the Holy Spirit, and you know, sometimes you think, oh wow, you know, look what the Holy Spirit's doing. You know, you're seeing people healed through the power of the Holy Spirit and words of knowledge and all the miraculous stuff that comes through the Holy Spirit. You think that is just amazing. Oh, I'd love to be like, you know, in a place of seeing more of that. It's actually just, it also talks somewhere else about the Holy Spirit being a deposit. You know, and it's like, well, you know, you think that that's brilliant, but the best is yet to come. And, you know, we've got a wedding happening next week, and before that period of time, there's an engagement, there's a promise of what's to come, you know, and the what's to come is going to be even better than that. Well, I can tell you, we have got the best yet to come. And the proof of that is the fact that we have the Holy Spirit in us. Exciting stuff, isn't it? Really exciting stuff. Anyway, that wasn't really in the notes. So 1 Corinthians 12. I think I might have given you the 12 verse 11. Might have got the wrong one just up there. Probably could find it quickly. Oh, can you get it? God, let's have a race. You can get it. There we go. Nope, not there yet. Has anyone got it? Somebody shout it out then. It's on there. It's behind you. There's a little lead just across that bit there, and I keep reading. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives to each one of them just as he determines. So the Holy Spirit, he makes choices and decisions, and he will decide and determine certain things. So we can see the Holy Spirit has got personal attributes about him. And you know, it is so important that we develop personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we're not just sort of dipping in and out of, oh yeah, well, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit for more power because I want to do whatever I want to do. You know, we need to be in constant communication with and actually get to know the Holy Spirit. And that, in any relationship, takes time to develop that, but also to maintain that. So what's the purpose of, what is his purpose? Well, there's two big areas that the Holy Spirit is really key. One of those is to convict us and to convince us. You know, in fact, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, none of us would be Christians. None of us would be in relationship with Jesus. It's down to what the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in us, that brings us to a place of relationship with Jesus. Jesus did a bit of teaching about the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. So I was watching something on telly the other day. I caught something, and they were interviewing people on the street, and they're saying, "Do you believe in Jesus?" "Nope, I'm an atheist." "Nope, I don't. Never thought about it." And they were all quite sort of negative. But then the question must have been off camera. Well, if he was real, if he was a person, would you have liked to have talked to him? Would you have liked to have met him? And every one of them said, yeah, I would. I think he would have been a real interesting guy. Or, I would love to have met him. And I would love to have been sat around Jesus as he was teaching some of this stuff. You know, because we open up the word and everything, you know, sort of now. But to hear it from the mouth of Jesus would have just been amazing. But he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And he taught that the Holy Spirit would come and that he would convict people of sin. Now, the word convict, the Greek word behind it, I've got it written down, alekho, I think it is, but if anybody's better at Greek than me, then they'll pronounce that better. But that word also means convince. So the Holy Spirit's job in that moment of conversion, when we make that point in our lives where we decide that we're going to move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, where we're going to be a follower of Jesus, at that moment we have been convinced that Jesus is alive, that he's Lord, that he died for us, that we're forgiven and that we're set free, but also that we're convicted of sin, that we're convicted of our wrong state of being, and that we are convicted to a point that we will repent, that we will turn away, and that we will change, and we will our lives so that we are in the right place with God. And the Holy Spirit is key in all of that happening. He will convince us, and he will convict us, so that we can get to that place. Now, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Acts 2. I'm sure we'll be up on the screen if you haven't. But let's just read that account of when the Holy Spirit first came at Pentecost. Because this highlights as well how the Holy Spirit will convict and will convince. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Have you ever been somewhere merrily getting along with what you're doing, and all of a sudden something incredibly loud happens? Gets your attention, doesn't it? I had the most fantastic experience yesterday. Well, I thought it was. Maybe it's not the most fantastic, but it was pretty good. The red arrows came overhead. Yeah? I don't know where you were, but I was up near Matlock, but I was actually shearing sheep at the time, and it's quite a noisy job shearing sheep. And all of a sudden, there was this tremendous noise above the din I was making, and we just stopped what we were doing. I don't know what the sheep was doing. I can't remember. We were probably trying to wriggle free. Opportunists they are. And we just like, wow, you know, that is amazing. And the guy I was with, he said, do you know, they never come over here. And I said, well, I said, they probably knew I was here. They're always following me about. Yeah, actually, he didn't laugh, so I didn't. That went. Anyway. So, yeah, so they're in this. They're all together, and there's a great noise. It's not something that just happens quietly and gently. It wasn't very Western middle class type of scenario, I don't think. So suddenly the sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of them hears in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and all the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" However, some of them made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then he goes on and to preach a message of salvation and repentance. And a result of that was that many, many people became believers. So in that situation, the Holy Spirit was poured out. There was something eye-catching that happened that was very noisy. And it got people's attention. They said, so that people from all sorts of different places and backgrounds all of a sudden could hear this bunch of thickies who were uneducated and had no hope of speaking another language. Obviously we know they weren't thickies, but that was the perception because of that was their background. They suddenly heard them speaking not just in their own language, but they were actually speaking in a way that declared the glory and the wonder of God. So when you look at it like that, it's an even bigger miraculous thing. Speaking another language, but they're also able to explain some deep mysteries of the universe, i.e. God, where he came from, Jesus, what Jesus came to do. And they were just amazed. That miraculous event convinced people. The Holy Spirit used that to convince. And then he used the message, the preaching of the cross, to convict and bring people to repentance. And we need to hold that very, very firmly, those two things, with what we do. I love it when we get into a place where God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the presence of Jesus, are here. I mean, this morning was just, the worship was fantastic, I thought, this morning. There was just a real presence of Jesus here this morning. And, you know, when we get into those places, quite often, you know, things happen. People get set free from things. People get healed. And that's just, you know, goosebump moments. And, you know, and God loves us enjoying all of that. But let's not get too sidetracked from that, because actually, when that happens, which God loves to do, you know, we're his children, he loves to pour out the good stuff on us, but let's not lose sight of the fact that when the miraculous happens, it's an opportunity to convince those that don't know him that actually this is real, this happens. You know, let's be aware, bringing the kingdom of God in, that let's be aware that when the miraculous happens, it's an opportunity to convince people of what Jesus is doing. And let's not lose sight of the fact that the Holy Spirit will also be convicting people of sin and bringing them to a place of repentance. Because that's the real miracle. That's the real miracle. You know, we can get excited about the miraculous, but the real miracle is when somebody has passed from death to life. And that moment when we pass from death to life, you know, that was just something to shout about, something to get so excited about. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no conversion experience for us. And you know, once we become Christians, the Holy Spirit then just goes on to keep working in our lives, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit will just be that voice, that one that that just reminds us, having already tried to warn us in a lot of cases, as I mentioned earlier. But he will help us become more like Jesus. He will help us to become more holy. So That's one aspect of the Holy Spirit. The other aspect is what's often termed as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is different to what I've just been talking about, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is where the Holy Spirit will empower us to become effective and powerful witnesses, not for us, not for what we can do, but for Jesus. The Holy Spirit will empower us to do incredible things so that we can glorify and we can witness for Jesus. Jesus called it a baptism in the Spirit in Acts 1. But there's all sorts of interchangeable terms for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If and again, you need to do a bit of homework on this, but if you read through the New Testament, you will come across phrases such as receiving a promise, receiving a gift, receiving power, the gift of the Holy Spirit, different to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is a topic not for this morning, being filled with the Spirit, having the Spirit come upon you, the Spirit falling on you, the Spirit being poured out. Different terminology that's used in different scenarios in the New Testament, all of which help us to understand the fuller picture of what it's all about. But when we're filled with the Spirit, when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is enabling us and is empowering us to be effective witnesses for Jesus. Now, it can happen at different points. If you have a look in Acts 8, verse 15, when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So this is some Sumerian converts that had become Christians at some point, and period of time had passed, and they then had the revelation that they could be filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered to be more effective as witnesses. If you flick over quickly into Acts chapter 10, and there's quite a long account about Cornelius. We won't read it, but if you just look the whole account, but if you just find verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. So there's two different scenarios happening here. One, group of people have become Christians, and a while later have received the Holy Spirit. In the case of Cornelius and his whole household, they've become Christians and straight away have received the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want to encourage us with this morning is, if we're ever in that privileged place of leading someone to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is available. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is available for everybody the moment we become Christians. That said, if we've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you know, if you've been a Christian for years and years even, that doesn't exclude you from being filled with the Holy Spirit and having the power of the Holy Spirit in you. I was, the church background that I started out in was a Baptist church, and they generally didn't teach things of the Holy Spirit like this. And I had a friend who was from a different background, and he was getting really excited about the Holy Spirit. And we were talking, he told me about all this great stuff, and I thought, oh, that's brilliant. And then I got talking to my gran, used to go to what was called a strict and particular Baptist church. Anyway, we had some really fascinating debates, which just left me utterly confused, because she was convinced that all that we've read about in the New Testament was for those days and not for now. Now, I was in my early teens, I'd been a Christian since I was 11, and I thought, do you know what? If I go and talk to anybody, they're going to tell me what they think. So I went down to the local Christian bookshop. I bought a study guide. I didn't tell anybody, and I just, in my bedroom, over a period of time, I just studied for myself what the New Testament was saying. And I was filled with the Spirit, and I then, when I was reading through it, I thought, well, all the guys who were filled with the Holy Spirit spoke in tongues. So I thought, okay, I'm going to pray for myself that I will have the gift of tongues. And in my bedroom, I started developing the gift of tongues, and I didn't tell anybody for months that I was Spirit-filled and that I was speaking in tongues, because I felt a right idiot, I have to tell you. I was in there going, sure, Rabbah, but oh, yeah. But I can see, looking back, that actually I allowed the Holy Spirit to fan into flame something in me, because there wasn't anybody around me who could nurture me and guide me and teach me properly. Then it was the Holy Spirit who had to teach me and had to do all that, until such a time that I could get myself in a place where there were people who could possibly correct some of the teaching or whatever. But that was my experience, you know. And I just felt then at the time, oh, I wished I had tapped into this earlier on. But over time, I've got to know the Holy Spirit. I've got to learn when he's possibly speaking to me. Not to learn what conviction feels like. It's not very nice, is it? But we're going to carry on in a minute and just carry on in that place of worship. Worship's a great place to be, because the thing I really love about worship is that when we get ourselves into a place where we're telling God how big and how wonderful and how great he is, we actually benefit from that. Because, and the reason why we benefit from that is because we've actually got the focus right. It's because we've got our focus on Jesus. And this morning, what I want us to just be challenged with this morning is just to ask ourselves, you know, how is my relationship with the Holy Spirit at the moment? You know, is there anything that this isn't about condemning ourselves or anything like that. It's just allowing the Holy Spirit just to prompt us or you know, prick our consciences, if you like. But, you know, how is our relationship with him this morning? Are we tapping into him on a daily basis? Are we listening to him? I'm often challenged and convicted because I'm not unlike anybody else, I know, but the weeks just seem to be so full and packed with busyness. And I get turned up here on a Sunday morning and I go, oh yeah, last week I was pumped up, ready to, and have I achieved the things that I felt challenged and convicted to do? No, quite often I don't. But, you know, we need to be starting our day saying, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, what I want to be in relationship. The other thing I want to challenge us with this morning, I don't know where everybody's at with God, but it might just be that there are folk here this morning that actually the Holy Spirit has been convincing you and is convicting you of sin and of your need to put that right. Your need to say, well, okay, yeah, I know, Jesus, that you died for me. I know that you love me. But I also know that I need to do something about that. I need to do what the Bible calls repentance, and that's to turn away from one way of living and actually turn and decide to live for Jesus. If you feel uncomfortable this morning, it's probably because the Holy Spirit is just tugging or pulling away, pulling at something. And the other thing I just want to challenge us with this morning, if you've never really felt that you've received the Holy Spirit, maybe you've been a Christian for quite a while or maybe not for very long, but you've never really felt like you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, whatever term we want to use. You know, God wants us to equip us to do everything that He requires of us to do. He doesn't just send us out into the world to do and to be and to be His witnesses, but not equip us. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, we have the Holy Spirit available to us so that we can be effective in the workplace, effective in our schools, in our homes, in our families, in all the difficult situations that we face. We are equipped. Well, we are if we tap into that equipment. And so I just want to encourage us this morning to tap into all of that. And in fact, if you're in that place this morning, you know, there's lots of us around who would just love to just lay hands on you like they did in the New Testament and just impart something of the Holy Spirit. And I'll just put that out. You know, if anybody here wants to receive the Holy Spirit this morning, just raise your hand. Okay, that's brilliant. And guys, if you can just get around those that and just lay some hands on those that want to receive the Holy Spirit this morning. I'm going to pray in a minute. That's great. Yeah. If anybody else is in that place this morning, that just feel free to raise your hand. People around you will come and pray. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Jesus, I just thank you that you taught some great stuff before you went back to heaven. And one of the big things that you talked about was receiving the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're just in that New Testament place this morning. And we just pray, Lord God, for these folk this morning who are just reaching out to you, that want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now. I pray that you'd come right now and that you would impart and empower yourself and fill them from head to toe. Yeah, while we just carry on worshiping, you know, you guys just enjoy what God's doing in you. Just enjoy what the Holy Spirit's doing. Savor the moment. But if you're in a place where actually Holy Spirit's convincing you or convicting you this morning, then, well, if you just want to make yourself known as well, and we would just love to pray with you. Sometimes it's very easy to feel a sense of fear of the unknown when God's challenging us and to do something. But actually, we're in family. This is family. This is a good place. This is a safe place. And just before we move on, if you feel challenged this morning, just to pay more attention to your relationship with the Holy Spirit this morning, let's just stand and just invite the Holy Spirit to keep the fires kindling. I'm standing because I want to be more full of the Holy Spirit than I was yesterday and the day before. Let's just reach our hands out, just as a sign that we want to receive from the Holy Spirit this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, we want more of you this morning. We want more of you this morning. We recognize that you do love us, that you do want to bless us, but Lord God, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be effective witnesses for Jesus. We want to bring Jesus glory this morning. And I just pray, Lord, we have opened our hearts to you this morning. We've opened our spirits to you this morning. And we want you to impart something to us this morning. Lord, where we have neglected our relationships, Lord, we just repent of that this morning. We just want to say sorry. Where we've allowed the excuse of busyness to invade, we're sorry, Lord. But we just pray, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and invade our whole being this morning. Just as we move on for worship for a bit longer, just savour what the Holy Spirit is doing and is saying. Let's just have a few moments where we're just led by the Holy Spirit this morning.